We're now going to hear a parable of the sower, except it's not going to be someone reading it at the front here. We have a special presentation, a kind of cartoon version of it, which we're about to show.
Stories of the Bible. The parable of the farmer. This is Jesus.
Heyo!
Who is the Son of God and the Savior of the world. While Jesus was on earth, he taught everyone about God's love. He healed many people from their sickness, performed many miracles like calming storms, and even raised people from the dead.
Wahoo!
One day, Jesus went and sat beside the sea. A great crowd gathered around him.
Oh, hey, everyone.
So he got in a boat and told them many things in parables.
Okay, listen to this.
He told them this story. A farmer went out to plant some seed. As he scattered it across his field, some of the seed fell on a footpath where it was stepped on. And the birds came and ate it. Other seed fell on shallow soil among rocks. The seed began to grow quickly because the soil was shallow, but the plant soon wilted under the hot sun, and since it didn't have deep roots, it died. Other seed fell among thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants. Still, other seed fell on fertile soil. This seed grew and produced a crop that was 100 times as much as had been planted. When Jesus had said this, he called out, "Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand."
Hey, Jesus! Yeah?
Later, the disciples came to Jesus and asked what this parable meant. Jesus said, "The farmer plants seed by taking God's word to others. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message, only to have Satan come at once and take it away. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are treated badly for believing God's word. The seed that fell among the thorns represents others who hear God's word, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the worries of this life and the desire for other things. And the seed that fell on good soil represents those who hear and accept God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as had been planted."
A few minutes ago, on the cartoon version, we were reminded of one of the most famous parables of Jesus, the parable of the sower. According to the Bible, Jesus recited this parable to a large crowd while he was sitting in a boat next to the shore of Lake Galilee. No doubt many had come to see Jesus perform some healing miracle, but many were there to also hear his teachings. Jesus often based his parables on scenes familiar to his hearers. Maybe in the distance, there is even a farmer scattering his seed. Have we got any farmers here? No, I wasn't expecting to see many. They're probably busy this morning. But, however, despite that, I expect that most of us, if not all of us, had planted seed at some time or other. Maybe in our gardens, probably. I'm not much of a gardener myself, I'm afraid. I have whatever the opposite of green fingers is. But, my wife Jill really does the kind of planting and that side of the gardening. I'm there for kind of destroying things. So I do things like mowing the lawn and weeding, although I have to be a bit careful there. I sometimes get a bit over-enthusiastic on the weeding and end up picking things up I shouldn't do. But, in our gardens, we probably have path-like areas, maybe paving or decking. We also, I'm sure, have stones, including if you live in a kind of relatively new house, probably bits of brick that the people who built the houses didn't quite get rid of. And we definitely do have weeds. But hopefully we also have some areas of good, clean soil. Obviously, seed planted on paths and paving slabs and decking isn't going to grow. Stony ground. One advantage of stony ground is that it warms up more quickly and does not become easily waterlogged. I noticed, by the way, in Jesus' parable, there's four types of soil, and they haven't got the type that we do have in this country, the waterlogged type of soil, probably because it's, I suppose, a bit more arid over there. I'm not quite sure how that kind of fits in with the overall teaching of the parable, though. But stony ground has that advantage, it doesn't get waterlogged so easily, and it does warm up. So if you plant something in stony ground, it will actually probably grow quite quickly, early on. But of course, because it's stony ground, its growth will be stunted. And if you get a heat wave, like they're promising us again the week to come, I'm afraid, they're likely to kind of die because of lack of moisture. Soil, of course, with weeds will also allow growth, but the weeds will tend to grow quickly and compete with the seed for light and nutrition, and failure is quite likely. Strong and fruitful plant growth needs good, fertile soil with minimal stones and weeds and cats. So you have that problem as well, right? That's what is needed. All this, of course, would have been common knowledge to Jesus' audience at the edge of Lake Galilee. They may have wondered, in fact they did wonder apparently, what Jesus was on about with his parable. He didn't actually explain the parable to the crowd at the time, but later, when he was with his disciples, he did explain it. And we had that explanation, of course, on the cartoon version we had before. And just to run through that again, really. Jesus, along with disciples, was spreading the good news of the kingdom of God. Good news of forgiveness and healing. Good news of a new relationship with God. But not everyone was receiving such news in the same way. The parable of the sower illustrates four different responses, all of which continue to occur today. The path represents the response of someone with a closed mind. In the same way that there is no chance of seed penetrating the path, there is no chance of good news of the kingdom being accepted by a person with a closed mind. There are many things that can shut a person's mind. Prejudice can blind a person to not see things. An unteachable attitude can erect a barrier which is not easily broken down. Maybe it's caused by pride or fear of something new or threatening to a way of life. One does not want to change. Jesus blames the evil one, Satan, the devil, for this condition. Hopefully, as followers of Christ, protected by the Holy Spirit, this is not the case for anyone here this morning. Then there's the shallow, rocky soil. Have you ever started a new hobby or some new challenge, only to quickly lose enthusiasm later and abandon it. New Year resolutions, not lasting past January the 2nd. Weight loss attempts, trying to learn a musical instrument, learning a language, and so on. I'm sure we've all done some of them. I certainly have. But we mustn't have this attitude with following our Lord. It's a lifetime commitment. We will often fail in many ways, but we must not give up. Our Lord sent his Holy Spirit to help and encourage us in our walk with him. Then there's the thorny ground. It's easy to have many interests, commitments, responsibilities that we may become too busy to pray, to attend fellowship, to study God's word. Such distractions may be good and necessary in themselves. They may be even Christian activities. Our Lord has promised to be with us to the end of time. Our growth will be stunted if we let what is second best get in the way of the best, our relationship with our Lord. The good soul, of course, represents the one who has not closed their mind or given up or let themselves be distracted. Their minds are still open. They are willing to learn, never too proud or too busy to listen. They have thought things out, know what following Christ means, and is prepared to accept it. Such an attitude should show itself in action. Good fruit produced of the good seed. What kind of fruit? Paul, in his letter to the Galatians, lists 9 fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. As we move on in the Christian life, we should expect all of these in our lives. And that list is not exhaustive. There are other types of fruitfulness. Obviously, there's that in the way that we conduct our lives and how we speak to others, that should enable those people to come to know the Lord. It says there are 4 types of soil. The parable is sometimes called the parable of the soils. But of course, there's also the sower. So a moment or two about the sower. A farmer sows seed in the hope that a strong and fruitful crop will arise. But even today, where we have advanced farming techniques and procedures, success cannot be guaranteed. With the spreading of the seed of the good news of the kingdom, Jesus was the original sower. Then came his disciples, then many others over the past 2,000 years. And today, we are meant to be sowers of the seed. How successful was Jesus as a sower of the word of God? At the time, humanly speaking, he appears actually not to have had a great deal of success. When he was telling this parable and doing other things, the doors of the synagogues were shutting against him. The leaders of Orthodox religion were becoming his bitterest critics and were starting to plot to destroy him. True, crowds still came to hear him. Many were healed, but it seems that there were relatively few who went away really changed in their hearts. But some few, for instance his disciples, were changed. After Jesus' resurrection and the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, his disciples spread the good news of the kingdom of God. Their numbers increased rapidly, the world changed. As Jesus' present-day disciples, we are called to continue this work. But we should not be surprised when often there might not seem to be much success. Much seed may not be fruitful, but that which is yields 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. We should not look for quick results. We live in an age which looks for quick results, but the sowing of the seed, we must sow in patience and in hope. Sometimes the harvest might take many years. Returning to the four types of soil, which type of soil best describes you? Hopefully, for the most part, it's the fourth type. But perhaps we have occasionally let some thorns grow up. Have we become distracted with worries, riches, pleasures? Maybe some weeding of the thorns is needed. Is God calling us to trust him more? Maybe we need to turn to God in repentance and let the good gardener soften the soil, take out any rocks, and remove the weeds. Amen.